Austin, we've talked about what several of these new laws will do, but there is one I want to focus on this morning that grew directly out of George Floyd's murder. That's the duty to intervene law. What will it do?
Well, Kirsten, recall that in the George Floyd case, there were three other officers there on scene who failed to intervene to stop Derek Chauvin from kneeling on Floyd's neck. Two rookies were involved in helping to pin Floyd to the ground. The other officer kept the crowd back. All three have been charged and face trial next year. Under the duty to intervene law here in Washington, an officer who witnesses another officer use excessive force is required to step in. Excessive force is defined as force that exceeds the law or the policies of the agency of the officer who's witnessing the situation, because sometimes you have officers from different agencies show up at a scene. Additionally, officers are required to report wrongdoing by a fellow officer, to go to a supervisor and report that, and there are protections against retaliation for doing so. The new law takes effect this July, but police agencies have until next June, so that's June of 2022, to adopt model policy on this. And just to be clear, there's nothing preventing police departments from having a duty to intervene policy now. What this law does is it makes it a statewide requirement and standard for all departments.
And what are some of the other police accountability laws, and when will they take effect?
Right. So there were about a dozen laws that were passed this year. Governor Inslee signed the majority of them just last week. They include a sweeping police tactics bill that bans chokeholds and neck restraints, a bill to create a new independent office to investigate cases where police kill someone, and a new use of force standard that requires officers to prioritize de-escalation.
And on a different topic, another bill that was passed this session is an implementation of a capital gains tax on the wealthiest people in the state. And there's now a second lawsuit that's been filed against that.
Right. And this was expected. The Opportunity for All Coalition, which successfully fought Seattle's high earners income tax back in 2017, has now filed a suit to overturn this capital gains tax. The plaintiffs include business owners and farmers who would potentially be subject to the new tax, as well as the Washington Farm Bureau. Last month, the Conservative Freedom Foundation filed a similar lawsuit. Both cases were filed in Douglas County Superior Court, and they're likely to be consolidated. The plaintiffs contend that this 7% tax on gains above $250,000 from the sale of such things as stocks and bonds violates both the state and federal constitutions. At issue is whether the tax is an excise tax or an income tax. Sponsors of the capital gains tax knew that it would be subject to legal challenges. So far, this is all kind of going according to plan. The question is whether this will end up before the state Supreme Court. And if so, will the court revisit its past decisions that found a graduated income tax is unconstitutional in Washington?
All right. Well, that is not the only law that has caused controversy. There has been heated reaction to Governor Jay Inslee's veto of part of the language in a piece of environmental legislation. And that reaction is coming from tribal leaders.
Yes. In a dramatic statement on Friday, Fawn Sharp, who's the president of the National Congress of American Indians, invoked former President Donald Trump and called Inslee a snake for vetoing a section of the cap-and-trade bill that dealt with tribal consultation. Specifically, Kirsten, Inslee objected to language that required consent from tribes to resume any project funded by this cap-and-trade bill that had been paused due to concerns that the project would adversely affect cultural resources. In his veto message, Inslee said that language does not properly recognize the mutual sovereign relationship between tribal governments and the state.
So how are the tribes reacting, and what is the governor saying?
So in the statement that was issued on Friday, President Sharp and the Snoqualmie tribe said Inslee betrayed his words to the tribes. As Sharp called it, the most egregious and shameless betrayal she's ever seen from any politician. I mean, very strong language. Inslee, or his office, responded that the governor didn't break his word to anyone, that no deal was made with the governor, and that as written, the language would have effectively given tribes veto power over any related project.
And finally, Austin, the state continues to move toward a full economic reopening from the pandemic by June 30th. How's that going?
Well, the state's administered about 4.6 million doses of vaccine. We're now at nearly 61% of those 16 and older having received at least one shot. About 50% of the population is fully vaccinated. Inslee has said if the state gets to at least 70% of people vaccinated, the full reopening could happen earlier. It's hard to say at this point if we're on track to do that or if that's likely. And while we are hearing good news of COVID cases falling, I'll tell you, sitting here in Thurston County, I'm seeing letters from the health officer warning of rising case counts and concerning trends. So, you know, whether it's mass or case levels, there still seems to be a lot of mixed messages and confusion out there. But over the long haul, it looks like we're on the right path.
All right, Austin, thanks so much.
You're welcome.